Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner here on Blog Talk Radio, where we speak with other coaches and people who inspire, move, and motivate people to action. Listeners will learn about coaching and the many coaching niches and have an opportunity to ask questions of the many wonderful coaches who are my guests. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people to discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission is to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at www.myfuturecoach.com. If you're listening live and you want to call in with questions, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. Again, that's 646-929-2893. We also have a live chat room on the show page. You can listen there and post questions as well. Tonight, my guest is author, speaker, and spiritual life coach, mind-body cleansing expert, Harriet Teicher, who lectures coast to coast on the importance of whole body cleansing, diet, detox, and transforming old, unproductive patterns. Harriet has trained with some of today's top holistic doctors to learn the latest therapies and treatments available to cure the body of illness and the mind of limitation. In 2003, Harriet founded Get Centered, a wellness center located in New York City, offering the latest tools for life enhancement. Get Centered has been featured in many publications, including Harper's Bazaar, In Style, and Quest magazine. Harriet has been interviewed on Trendwatch, Vogue magazine's nationally syndicated TV segment, Good News Broadcast, and German TV morning show for her innovative services. Harriet, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Andrew. Hi.
Hello. And welcome to Movie Phone.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So, wow, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be on the show. And just want to talk to your audience about whatever is the subject for tonight.
Subject of tonight for tonight is Harriet Teicher.
Okay, great.
It's a great subject. I'm going to bet you're an expert on that subject.
Well, you know, I think it's good to talk about things across the board. So why don't you start and see where we go from there?
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things, you know, and as I'm introducing you and I'm talking about your that you've trained with some of today's top holistic doctors, learned the latest therapies and treatments, I'd like to know, what are those latest therapies and treatments?
Well, there's a couple of things that I think are really valid in terms of looking for a holistic, natural approach to health, body, mind, and soul. And so I trained with Dr. Eric Pearl, who has a healing called The Reconnection. And if you guys don't know about it, go look him up. He is amazing. It's ericpearl.com, The Reconnection. And so I went to, I met him in New York, actually, and I was so impressed with him and so excited about his work that I flew out to L.A. to take his training classes, and it was an experience, all I can say is that. Hmm. And then I trained with Dr. Hugh Len, who is very well known for his work with the Ho'oponopono forgiveness trainings, and he was found by Dr. Joe Vitale of The Secret. He was one of the stars of The Secret, and what happened was Dr. Hugh Len is a psychologist in Hawaii, and he was brought into a maximum security prison there where the 200 inmates there were all sentenced to life imprisonment. So he practiced this Ho'oponopono, which is an ancient Hawaiian forgiveness practice, and so interesting. Never ever met with the inmates, just did this prayer and this work that is the Ho'oponopono, and 198 of the inmates were sent back into the world to go and have their life. They were rehabilitated. And the story went around in 5 million emails. Until Dr. Joe Vitale, you know, got word of him. And anyway, so there was a conference in Maui, and that was another fabulous training that I took. I worked with T. Harv Eker, who's The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, just a brilliant guy. And
you got to work with him personally?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just an amazing human being. Just so fabulous. And let's see, who else did I work with? I just, you know, right now I'm kind of trying to sort through all the different categories of the things that I've done, but just so many wonderful things.
Well, you've worked with some people that I personally have been, you know, inspired by, not directly, but trained by. Even T.R. Vecker, I've taken his course with him. I have his entire Millionaire Mind Intensive on CD.
Right.
So
right.
It plays in my head from time to time. I noticed that you also trained with Jerry and Esther Hicks.
Oh yeah.
What was that like? I mean, that's a very unusual couple, to say the least.
Right. Well, that was the beginning of the whole real journey. That was probably, I hate to say it, but 20 years ago when they were first starting mm-hmm. out, and you know, I met with them and they had a small little group and we just did the trainings, and they did the Abraham Hicks work, and you know, that was the beginning of the Law of Attraction, and it was the beginning. Now we know that the Law of Attraction has many other facets to it.
Sure.
That, you know, we're not just you think something and so it happens. I mean, it depends on where you're at in your consciousness and your evolution, but I think what happened once the Law of Attraction got really popular with different trainers and different, you know, it just became much bigger than Jerry and Esther Hicks. A lot of people started getting disappointed and disillusioned that they weren't getting the results that were promised. And I think that's the world that we're in right now, which is that there's the other aspect of manifestation, which is really being in touch with your subconscious, unconscious, counter intentions that are going on, and really kind of, you know, understanding how they kind of, you know, work against what you want to have happen.
A counter intention. Tell me about that.
Well, okay. So the thought behind that is that, you know, on a conscious level, we can do all the work to say, well, I want to change this behavior. I want to do X, Y, and Z therapy, or go to this, that, and the other person. And on a conscious level, you know, we do that work. But like even in Freudian psychology, there's the thought that there is this inner child that is, you know, a young portion of ourselves that is still within us, that may be kind of paralyzed in a traumatic situation that happened in the past, or may have a different belief system than we as an adult have. Because as an adult, you know, we, not being in touch with that part of ourselves, we on a conscious level, you know, go, oh, I don't like this behavior. I think I'll do this. I'll change that. We do a course or whatever, and we intellectually understand it. But the inner child, that subconscious part of ourselves may still be stuck in something that it saw, witnessed, something, some experience that just has a completely different belief system and lives in that belief, which is counter to the belief system that we have on a conscious level.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. And actually, I've been myself been, you know, going on a journey now for 26 years or so. That, and actually it's in the early days of that was when the Hicks were first around, back in, it was like 1986 I first heard of them. But I have been personally using all of this work to get through the stuff that my, you know, you want to call my inner child has dealt with. And have been on a journey of understanding what happened to me, how did this happen, where can I put it today, and it's been pretty remarkable. And last night, by the way, I got to spend time with my best friend from the age of 3 to 7, who actually knew me when my inner child was me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And did you get in? Did they have any insight for you about the way that you were behaving?
No, we didn't get into that, but it was really really phenomenal to spend time with somebody who You know, it was certainly a big part of my earliest formative years as a, you know, my bonding friend, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, I found, you know, like when I went to one of my reunions and I found my next door neighbor who I knew since I was like 5 years old. And so she would said, Hera, oh, it's so great to see you. And she started recounting these memories of things that had happened when we were young kids. And I didn't remember anything.
Oh, you didn't remember anything?
I don't remember anything. Oh. I had no recollection. And that it was so vivid for her. And she was like, do you remember this and this? And I had no recollection. And so that was a very interesting conversation for me, because I realized that there were things about my childhood that must have been very painful for me. And, you know, I was much happier in the part of my life I'm in now. So I kind of divorced myself from that. But it didn't mean that that wasn't still operating in my life. So, you know, it's a good wake-up call for me to kind of say, oh, wow, why don't I remember any of this stuff?
And I remembered, so, I mean, my friend could remember very little of the things that I was referring to, because I can't believe you remember that. And I remember, like, things he said to me.
Right.
You know, telling me that Marilyn Monroe had died. I said, you got to be kidding me. I was, I think, 5 years old, and I still remember that.
Right, right.
Like it was 47 years ago.
Right. You know, listen, that's what it is. And that's the thing I think about the journey that I'm on, which is, you know, life is not really the way I've been seeing it. There's something way, way, way different that's going on. And truthfully, I mean, I've been doing the work for a while now, and every day I'm aware of it. Every day I incorporate the practices to help me get a little bit further into it, or to notice in my conversations or the things that are occurring in my life. Oh, you know, that's that. Oh, there it is again. You know, and really seeing it, seeing what that is. In my book, I talk about the work of going back and revisiting the inner child. And, you know, I revisited a time in my life when I was at home with my family. And my father was a very powerful and very difficult man. You know, it was very difficult for me. And so when I went back to do some work on that, I found that I was constantly with T. Harv Eker. That was one of the fun things about working with him, because he also had a very difficult time, relationship with his father. And so we had that in common. It was, and so I thought that I had completed all that. We did all the work together, and I cried my eyes out, and I said a lot of things, and I forgave a lot, and I thought it was all over. But I found later on that it came up again. I just found that it was still, there were pieces of that that I had not realized that were related. So I had to go and I had to look again and see that, you know, just for your listeners, just to understand what that really means. Like, I grew up in a wealthy family, and my dad was always working, and he wasn't home a lot. They traveled, they went to Europe a lot, and they left us with, you know, people to take care of us. And my father was from a school of thinking that if you frightened your kids and you made them have that fear in them, they wouldn't do anything to harm themselves. And because he wasn't around a lot, he would, like, do his best to kind of, you know, set that stage for us. And then he would go off and he'd go working. And when he was around, he would, when he was at the table with us, he'd say things like, I put money in your bank account today, right? You know, so as a child, you know, I didn't know, because this is the way I grew up. My mother worked with my father. She traveled with him. She never had any money.
Mm.
She every time she wanted money, she'd have to ask my father for money. So it wasn't until working with Harv and other people where it was like, oh, isn't that interesting, Hera? You know, your mother worked every single day. She worked as hard as your father, and she never had any money. What would that look like to a young kid modeling that? oh, I think I'll work really hard and I won't make any money, you know, or that my father would say, you know, I put money in your bank account today, and that was his way of telling me he loved me. So money and love were very, you know, related in my way of thinking. And,
did you discover, you did the Millionaire Mind Intensive?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did you discover some of this in your financial blueprint from that course?
You know, yeah. I mean, I discovered a lot of things about it. One of the really interesting things about that particular class is about the blueprint and all the wrong thinking I had. But, you know, I had this belief system that I couldn't do it. It, like, and the very end of that class, they had, did you take it?
Yes, I did.
So did you do the board breaking thing at the end?
Yeah, of course we're not supposed to talk about that.
Okay,
but,
sorry.
But yes, I did it.
Okay. Well, I won't talk about it then, because for any of you, go do it.
Yeah,
go do
go
it.
Do
I'm
it.
Sorry for spilling the beans on that, but you know, anyway, that was really the high point of the whole experience for me on that class.
Yeah, that was awesome. And actually, I will tell you that I actually was the leader in my group of that, and it was very powerful
really?
For me. Yeah.
Well, I was the leader. It's funny, for you guys who are listening, the Millionaire Mind, he would break people up into how you are about money. So there were the, I don't know, what were the groups? The avoiders.
The savers, the spenders, the avoiders, the hoarders, yeah. I think.
Right.
Or something
whatever
like that.
Whatever your personality is, mm-hmm. was around money, that's your group. And I was a spender. I was a spender because, you see, every time I got money, I would spend it, you know, because it was, for me, money was love. And so I always wanted to have a lot of love, so I'd always be spending my money. So anyway, I was the group leader for the spenders. I was the king of the spenders, or the queen of the spenders. It's funny, you know, I went with a very good buddy of mine, and she was a saver. She was, you know, in that group. So it really did tell me a lot about, you know, the way I see that stuff. So,
that was great.
So anyway.
Anyway, but you have your book, which I have read a good deal of since I, by the way, I'm proud to say I have an autographed copy of Changing Your Thinking Changes Your Life. Also known as Your Personal GPS Guide to Extraordinary Living, which I really love that subtitle.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I think that, you know, it's a guidebook, and so it's not War and Peace, but it does list the things that I do every day. You know, that mm-hmm. is a slice of the work that I do and the programs that I put out. It's really about looking at all that stuff. And that book is a guidebook for anybody who's looking to change what's happening in their life to get a different result and to get them to the place of actually achieving the success they want in whatever area that is. You know,
Yeah, I was gonna just ask you, because there's a lot of books out there, obviously, a lot of people. In fact, I read today there are 250,000 people who call themselves coaches today, which is
right.
an unbelievable number, considering coaching didn't really exist until 25 or 30 years ago in this sort of form. But so what differentiates your book, like your philosophy?
Right. Well, I think, you know, it's just like there's no two you know, fingerprints that are the same. We're all
mm-hmm.
different. And, you know, I that's a very big question to ask. I mean, who I am is in the book, and the way I see life, you know, we're all different. Some people are very strict about things. My program incorporates a lot of joy in life. I mean, that's who I am as a person. And even through all the learning and training I've done in my life, my motto was, look, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd cry and I'd have to laugh a little bit to be able to maintain, you know, going through the process. So I think I am, to the people who know me and work with me, unique like that. That's and my work and the way I present what I know is done in that fashion. So I was teaching the other night. I was at the Elizabeth Seton Women's Center, and just the way people respond to the work tells me a lot about, you know, how you, who you know, you have a work, and it's all the things that you've done and the trainings that you've had, and you incorporate that, you know, you put your personality in there. But then people will come back and they'll say, like, Andrew, when I work with you, I just feel, you know, so inspired, or I, you know, you are so, like, right on about, you have such a grasp of, and those are the things that help us to hone in on just really, like, you know, because you don't really know how it occurs to people until people give you that feedback, you know? And so my work is just a process of who I am.
Hmm. So the feedback, you're talking about the feedback of, like, telling people what's great about them?
People tell you. I mean, I'm sure your people that you work with in your practice,
sure,
you know, they keep coming back. They come back because they're getting something from you that they haven't gotten from somebody else.
Right.
And you know, there's no new words in this world. It's the way you deliver them. It's with, you know, like, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah, I love that.
You know, and that's so true. So, you know, it's like people go, oh, you know, Andrew, I'm with you, and I get how much you care about me. And in that moment, a person's life can change because they're safe and they're ready, and that's their moment. They may go to other people and not have that experience, and so they say, oh, this stuff doesn't work. Can't believe I had to go here. I did this, you know. You know, and that's, I think that's really what it is. I think we're all unique in that fashion, and you and I, we have our ways of just being who we are and presenting mm-hmm. what it is that we've learned.
But, you know, what's interesting, though, is, you know, what you just said about saying to me what I get from you is, it's actually something, you know, when you acknowledge people in that particular way, which I think most people don't most of the time, when you do that, that could land for somebody so powerfully. If you've experienced it, as I'm sure you have, that moment of hearing that from somebody, you know, not just, oh, how beautiful you are or how this you are, but how you are for people and what they're getting from you, and it's that very powerful transformational moment where you, like, it's that sort of moment in It's a Wonderful Life where you realize if I was,
right,
for me, Harry would have fallen through the ice at the age of 9, you know, how great is that?
Right. No, that's beautiful that you talk about that, because it's so funny. I always speak about It's a Wonderful Life. I think that's so fabulous that you brought that up, because that is totally what it's all about. You know, you're so right. And that's it. I mean, you know, the thing that I think, which is so great, feeling that, like, you really do matter, and what you say matters. And when you're a coach and you take this as a profession and you know that you're really you know, kind of helping somebody steer their ship to their greatness, you know, to have that in your thought that, you know, you do matter. And what you're saying is you have such an opportunity. I love that. I just love that. When I work with people, sometimes it brings me to tears just when I think, you know, because I was in that place years ago and somebody did that for me. Many people have done that for me, and there have been the people in my life that have just changed me so much for the better, with a word, with a, you know, just the way they looked at me, the way they acknowledged me. And there's other people whom they just didn't do it for me. I just went and I just did not get that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, and so, you know what I mean? That's it's very true what you say.
Yeah, it could be as simple as saying, you know, something I love about you is.
Right, right.
And it's like, really? I do that? I did.
Right.
Wow, thank you.
Right, right. Well, you know, when I do my newsletter, I don't do a newsletter like most people do. I don't really say, here's 5 tips or here's the 3 biggest, you know, mistakes people make. I did that when I first started out because I didn't know how to do it. But now I write to people the way I talk to people and talk to my clients. And I'll write something that just I'll sit down at the computer and I'll just think, well, what do I want to say to somebody? Think about how many thousands of people are on my list. I think about talking to a person. And what would I really want to say to a person? And then I think, I just think of something that really is meaningful to me. And, you know, I express myself. And it's so beautiful the way the internet works because, you know, I have people from all over the world that work with me or are on my list or whatever, and I communicate with them. I have a YouTube channel. I have people from Australia, all over the world. And just to get a letter back from somebody with a comment, like, something as simple as this. I sent around for the new year something about, you know, I wrote something, it was called To You. And it was just saying how much I appreciated being able to be in somebody's life, for them to open up the words that I had to say in my newsletter and to be part of their experience or whatever. I just wrote something very simple. I wish you a happy new year, whatever. And people wrote me back the most heartfelt, beautiful things about what their experience was of getting these newsletters. And, you know, it's like you just don't know until you put yourself out there and you communicate in the way that you do, hopefully from the heart or however, and just see what happens as a result of it. It's incredible. It's incredible. It's like that's a wonderful life to me.
I'll tell you what, this is the best acknowledgement I ever gave somebody. And I didn't realize how great it would be. But back in the early 80s, I had taken a course that completely, literally rewired my brain. It was called Mind Over Math. And it was 10 weeks of group therapy for people with math phobia. It was this amazing period of time. And the fellow who taught this course was a math professor and a psychology professor at Cornell. So he had this like double life. And he created this course out of, you know, just putting his skills together. And in that course, I got to deal with stuff. I went back to the second grade and traumas. And by the end of it, and I wasn't a math major or anything, but I had lost the fear that had what I didn't know, how much it had affected my mind, how many places I didn't go to in my brain. And after the course, bit by bit, all sorts of things changed about me, like, you know, seemingly unrelated, like my typing speed went from 40 words a minute to 65 and kept on getting faster and faster. It's now about 120, by the way.
Wow.
And as a result of that, I play guitar. I never had the ability before to hear music and know how to play it. Well, that started after that course.
Right.
I would dream sometimes. I'd dream a song and I'd know how to play it. And all of a sudden, I could look at things and know how to put them together and wire things up. And all kind of, it led me into the world of computers. I became a computer consultant eventually. And all of this was from having my brain changed. And it changed so many things in my life. And decades go by, and I thought about, like, this guy really changed my life. And, like, he probably – I got to let him know.
Right.
And I you know, I Googled him. It's about 10 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago. I Googled the guy, and there he was in you know, Fort Lee, New Jersey. It was only one person with this name anywhere. You know, it had a very unusual name. And I left him a message, said, I'd like to talk to you. And he called me back, and like, who are you? And he had no idea who I was, but I haven't taught that course since 1985. But he told me that he had gone on to a new career. He gave it all up because it wasn't satisfying and he wasn't making money, and he's now a partner at Goldman Sachs, this fellow.
Uh-huh.
So he's doing pretty well for himself. But when I let him know what happened, and then I thanked him for it and let him know what an amazing thing he did,
right,
it was like, you know, you've blown my mind. I can't even tell you what you've just done for me.
Right.
You know, it put back something from, you know, 15, 20 years earlier, and now made sense for him. It gave him validity on something that he had done. It made him feel incredible.
Right. And that acknowledgement which is so, so great. I mean, I can just feel it for that guy, not knowing that all these years that had that impact on you, and yet, you didn't say anything to him until all that time later. And it had done so much for you. So that's like amazing. That's amazing. And that's it. I mean, acknowledging people, everybody wants to feel needed. And, an acknowledgement. I mean, there's that story about that kid who is walking home from school and he walking alongside of somebody. And the kid says to him, they start walking and he's taking his bicycle and, I don't know what they start talking and whatever, they become friends. And anyway, I guess years later, the guy graduates from Yale, and at his graduation, this guy comes as one of his guests. And as he's giving his speech, as he's valedictorian or whatever, he talks about, this day many, many years ago when he was, walking home from school and he was on his way to go home and kill himself. And so, it's like, you never know the words that you say, how they affect another person,
Absolutely.
So acknowledging that person, just being a person, that person said, I was so despondent and I was so isolated from the world. I mean, think of how many people are living lives like that.
Mm-hmm.
People in New York City live like that. They live in their apartment and there's so many folks that just don't know how to reach out for, help to other people to get some kind of feeling of that they belong or they're part of things. And, so acknowledging somebody, how they've affected your life. Oh my God.
One of my mentors, his aphorism about this was that, on acknowledgement, is that babies cry for it and grown men die for it.
That's right. Exactly. I mean, I had a client and she's a beautiful person, and I used to come to her house. I used to make a house call there. And she said to me one day, she said, Hera, you don't charge enough money for what you do. Now, I thought I was charging a lot of money and I was happy. But like she said to me, as of today, I am doing this to your salary. And she changed my salary right then and there. And she was, certainly she could afford to do it. And I knew that all along, but I never thought to change my fee because she could or whatever. But she said that to me. And when I walked out of her house, I was a different person. And when I walked out of her house, I never said to her, oh, you changed my life, or, that was really amazing. But I thought to myself, for so much of time after that, she has no idea how much that helped me. It helped me to get into another space. It just helped me to feel, oh, yeah, well, she feels that way about me. And she said, if I recommend a client to you, there'll be people that can afford that fee, too, so you charge them the same amount of money. I thought, oh, my God. So I stepped into that, and years later I did say to her, I just want to let you know that, just you've been a mentor to me. I didn't say about that because I was a little embarrassed. Or I don't know. I just felt it was unnecessary to bring that up. But I thought, oh, my God, I got to tell this woman how she said something. She had no idea how that affected me.
Most people, you walk through your life and you really don't know what you do for people.
It's true. It's very true. And to really get a realization about that, oh, my God, it's a wonderful life. It's so important. You are important. I taught a class the other night, and listening to the things that people have holding them back from having a great, magnificent life, people and things from the past. Somebody had told them when they were a kid that they weren't good enough, and they believed it so much, and just a story after story about how, they couldn't have a good relationship, or they couldn't get a good job, or they couldn't get any whatever. And just to look at that person and say, that's not true. Who told you that? And, but the thing about the work that I'm talking about at the beginning of this, I can tell anybody what I think, but they have to feel it for themselves. And until a person does whatever it takes to get to the root of what that conversation is that's lodged in their everyday or their conversation about themselves. Nobody can help you out of that. You've got to be wanting to look at, you know, whatever avenue you can go down so you can understand it for yourself and say, that's not true about me.
But people like us can help people to get there.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, you know, exactly.
You mentioned to me before we got on this call something you do called clearing, holding clearings. And could you tell me more about that?
Well, I mean, I think I've talked about it. Clearing is this practice, the Ho'oponopono, which is from Dr. Hugh Lin. That's a clearing practice, which I recommend for everybody to do. And that's a whole other call. But just suffice to say, you can go to my YouTube channel. It's YouTube.com/ Hara Tasher. I'm sure at this call you'll have the spelling of my name. But anyway, and I talk about the Ho'oponopono, and it basically is just a prayer. It's, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. And it's a prayer that kind of petitions God to erase whatever memory is lodged within your cells that keeps reoccurring in your present day. So if that may sound like a lot to swallow for some of you, but you know, if you believe in like that we go around and we reincarnate, whatever, you have no memory of your last incarnation. I mean, some people do, but most don't. Mm-hmm. And so if things are showing up in your today, rather than go try to figure it out, just assuming responsibility for whatever's showing up as just being an opportunity to say, hey, this doesn't bring me peace, love, joy, happiness, whatever, abundance, whatever it is that you like. So I'm so sorry. Somewhere in life, in the community of life, in the oneness of life, I'm part of that. I created that. Somehow, some way, I don't have to think about why it happened, what I did, who did it, how it happened. All I want to say is, sorry, forgive me, thank you, and I love you. And that, it invites God to erase the memory that is keep showing up in our present day. So that's a clearing.
So you're talking about, though, the forgiveness of self as opposed to, for example, the forgiveness of people you've held crap onto for decades.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if, for example, if you're holding a resentment against somebody for many years or somebody hurt you in some ways, so there's the forgiveness of somebody else and there's the forgiveness of yourself. It sounds like you're talking about forgiving yourself. Am I hearing that correctly?
Okay. Yeah, you are. I mean, the Ho'oponopono states there's only one person here. You know what I mean? There's, I mean, this, like I said, this is another phone call. But the thing is that, like Lenz would say, have you ever noticed that when there's a problem, you're there? And that what that means in the scope of things is that if you're mad at somebody, like the scenario that you just brought up, like you need to forgive another person. If you look at it through the eyes of the Ho'oponopono, there really is not the other person. The other person is actually is showing you a part of the memory that exists within you, some incorrect way of thinking, some damage, some separation from the truth that's showing up in your present day. And giving you an opportunity to say, oh, right in front of me, that's not true. I don't believe it anymore. And thank you for being such a jerk in front of me and behaving like that. So you know what I mean? It's fun. Like, we can have a really good call about that because it really is a lot of fun if you can see it like that. And that's what it is. You assume responsibility for everything that shows up in your life. It's like you don't know what lifetime you were responsible for creating it. It may be just in the community of life, you know, I and my brother are one, that's how your responsibility is there. But that's really the way to look at it. So that's a clearing. That's a clearing, and that is, I do that every day. Before I get on the phone, before I got on this call, some clearing things that are really fun, easy to do. Before you get in a business meeting, or you make a date with somebody, or you whatever, something that's important, pick up the phone. You say Hawaii. It's a clearing. It invites God in. It's Hawaii is the breath of God. And they're beautiful things to do. And I always say the prayer, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. These are great things to start any meeting with, anything that has anything to do with being with, you know, other meetings or whatever. It's always good to start, like, with those kind of clearing words.
And this comes from Hawaii?
Yeah, if you guys want to look at the Ho'oponopono, Dr. Hugh Lin is, you know, he's world-renowned. He's spoken at the United Nations with this work and has been, you know, many, many places all over the world. Mabel Katz does it. It's a, you know, you Google it, H-O'O-P-O-N-O-P-O-N-O. And the other thing is that I believe when you change your thinking, you also have to change some of the things that you're doing to your body, because if you don't, if your body and your mind aren't working in sync, you're going to have some kind of interruption of going forward, you know, the way you want to go, because if you're really healthy, your health's not eat well, you're exercising, you're running, whatever, but you're thinking all these negative self-limiting thoughts, you've got like a kind of a start-stop mentality. And the same is true if you're thinking great, you're really positive, but you're like, you eat bad, you just like are under a lot of stress, you're, you know, because these are all things that are impacting the body and your ability to be able to move through things. You know, doesn't that happen to you? You know, like you don't take care of yourself and you're a coach and you're great at what you do and you got a great reputation. And then you realize that, wow, I mean, I've been really looking after myself and I'm having it's more challenging now to be, you know, in that space than it was when I was, you know, really paying attention to the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, so I do these programs to help people clean their bodies out. And there's a cleansing, there's a detox. And one thing I'm very keen on when it comes to healthcare.
Yes.
Alkalizing the body, that is the key for changing your health.
So, yeah, and actually, that I'm really, really curious about, like, why is an alkaline body important?
Well, your body is always searching to find an alkaline level. It's a pH level, actually, and the normal level is somewhere between like 7.3 and 7.4. It's a very, very finite little area. Where your blood, that's the level where the alkalinity of your blood is. And it really affects everything that you do. When your body goes below that, that means that your body is in an acidic environment. So having worked with clients on the health level who have had serious illness like cancer and, you know, things of that nature, looking at it from a holistic level, and also going to medical doctors at Mount Sinai and different places here in the city and then going to holistic places, I realized that the acidic environment was where illness is born. It's like you get sick from your blood not being at an alkaline level. Because when your body is in an acidic state, that's the environment that disease loves. It just loves that. And a lot of times it begins in your mouth. It becomes, and so it's not to be paranoid about it. It's just to be aware of it and to make choices to stay away from things that are very acidic. That would be coffee, alcohol, red meat. A lot of things that we love are acidic, and they're just not good for our bodies.
I'm pretty much all acidic, it sounds like, from
right.
what you've just described.
And what's the thing is, when you're 20 years old, you know, your body has, when we grew up, we had better air, we had better,
mm-hmm.
you know, foods and stuff like that. So our immune systems are actually stronger than our kids' immune systems, because they've grown up in this environment that's a little bit compromised. So when we were 20, we were abusive. We did whatever we did. And, you know, the body can take a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we do a constant of eating too much, drinking too much, smoking. Maybe there was a period of drugs or, you know, I mean, all those things factored in, stress, running, doing, not sleeping. And at some point, when you get into your, and it's different for everybody, different age, but at some point, the body just can't do it anymore. And most people get these signs somewhere in their 30s, 40s, certainly in your 50s, you got a host of things that you're going, I never had this before.
Yep.
I know. How come this is happening to me? It's because your body, God bless it, has been taking the abuse for so long. And you just love doing all those things. You just love having that Big Mac and that, you know, that next beer and whatever it is. But the body at some point just says, look, you know, either you treat me well or you're going to have some serious problems with me. And so I'm passionate about that, because you can't have a great life changing your thinking without changing that part of your life as well.
So have you actually given up all of those things?
Well, no. I mean, you know, I'm a New Yorker. How can you?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing? You know, really? I mean, no. That's why, that's one of the magics of me. I mean, my way of working in the world with my coaching, with my training, with the health, is I want to be able to do what I want to do, but I want to be able to do it in a way that the body and the mind interpret it that it's beneficial.
Mm.
So, you know, it's like I'm not like a, probably like the monarch notes or the cliff notes, you know, of that learning process. I want
sure.
to figure out what it is and then find a way that I don't have to really behave 100%, but I have to say I am much, much more aware of things. And I'll tell you guys something, because this is really, if we only have a few more minutes left on the phone, and if you're thinking about changing your health, I just want to tell you a very interesting thing I saw recently, which really has impacted me tremendously. A man went into a doctor's office, and they went to take a sample of his blood. So they pricked his finger, and they put the blood on a slide, and they put it in the microscope, and they looked at what blood looks like. And healthy blood looks like, let's just say visually, it looks like, let's say, the size of a dime, and it's circular, and it's red or whatever, you know, it's blue really inside, whatever. But it's circular, and it's separate from the other platelet of blood. So, like, if you were to look at blood in a microscope, it would kind of look like a whole bunch of dimes together, but there would be, like, an area between them, which is where, like, liquid is. So they wouldn't be touching each other, but they're circular, and they all look the same size and whatever.
Right.
So the guy takes this guy's blood, and he shows him what it looks like on the microscope, right? Then he says to this guy, he goes, hey, look, I'd like you to go into the kitchen over there. And he goes, you have a half an hour. And when you go into that kitchen, I want you to eat whatever you want. Eat whatever you want that's in the kitchen, and then come back here in a half an hour. So the guy goes in the kitchen, and he has a Diet Coke. He has some chips. He has some French fries. I mean, whatever, you know, things people eat all the time. I mean, a Big Mac. He has, you know, some chocolate or whatever. Just, you know, whatever's in the kitchen, he eats it. And what it is, it's like a whole bunch of sugar stuff, right? Mm. Anyway, comes back to the doctor's office. They take a sample of his blood, put it on the slide, put it under the microscope, and in 30 minutes, just from the foods that he consumed, there was so much sugar in his system that when they looked at the blood, rather than it being these dimes swimming in this liquid, like separate from each other, they had all coagulated together, and they were like on top of each other, like a caterpillar. Instead of looking separate, mm-hmm. they were all together. And I got to tell you, Andrew, it was so visually incredible to see that when you ask me, you know, do you do that? Are you really righteous about everything? I mean, you know, that has really made me stop. Every time I'm thinking about doing something bad, I think about that, and I think about what that means to my health. And I say, you know what, I really love life more than I love this thing I'm going to do, so I'm going to, you know, maybe pass on it this time, maybe I'll catch it next time, but, you know, it sometimes really does make me make that no. So
if you're not going to be perfect with the things you eat, what are some of the ways you would manage your alkalinity?
Well, you can go to this site that I have. It's called Alkalize, the number 4, totalhealth.com, and there's some really good things on there. There's some beverages you can look at that include a mineral in it that actually alkalizes your body. The thing to do is really to look at eating more fruits and vegetables. That's really where you know, the alkalinity will come from, a food source. Staying away from really just overeating red meats and beer is the worst. Beer is the most acidic of everything. But really looking to, you know, also your mental state. If you're under a lot of stress and a lot of pressure and all that, your mental state can create more acid in the body than the foods that you eat. So, you know, a couple of minutes in the day just to take a deep breath and relax and get yourself centered again. You know, maybe once during the day just choose a salad instead of some, you know, something fast food like. I mean, it's a process, you know, just being aware to put that in your life is the first place to start.
And by the way, that website was not coming up for me, so I thought I'd let you know that.
Oh, Alkalize,
mm-hmm.
the number 4, totalhealth.com?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it should be up. I mean, if it's not up now, it should be up for like in the morning. So just, you know, check it out in the morning. If not, you have my website. You can always be in contact with me. And there's so many wonderful things I do in my newsletter. I do some tips on alkalization. I do some stuff on cleansing, detox, things that I think are really important. And, because, I mean, the body and the mind are they're playing in the same, you know, the same landscape. And it's important to incorporate, eating good when you want to change your life as well. It makes it a lot easier when you're not bogged down with, I just ate that meal and I can't even move.
that's a statement I've made many times. I can't move. I have to have the special after-dinner giant pants, you know.
Well, listen, when you're going to do it good.
Absolutely. If you do, I think you do anything, do it well, including having your, if you're going to go off and, you know, really be off whatever plan you're on, have a good time, enjoy it, then you have to remember to come back.
That's right. Absolutely.
So tell me, how can people get a hold of your book, Changing Your Thinking Changes Your Life?
Well, my book is in a lot of places, but I think the best way is to go on my website, which is getcenteredwithhera.com.
Okay.
And in my book, you'll see all the different ways that I communicate. Like I said, I'm on YouTube. I have a newsletter. I do my blog. I'm speaking. I speak coast to coast on cleansing, body, mind, whatever. And, you know, different ways to repattern your thinking so you have a miraculous life. Go out and do it. Such a great place. This earth, it's so much fun. Right? We had fun when we met the other night, right?
Absolutely. We had a blast, and I got to see your beautiful face in person.
Oh, you're so sweet.
I am, actually.
All right. Wow.
So, I did take a look to see if it was on Amazon. I couldn't find it there, but I did see it on your site and a couple of other places because I wanted to put it on the show page, but they only at the moment tie into the Amazon store.
Okay.
So as soon as you get that on Amazon, I will put it on the show page, which will, by the way, will be up forever. Or until the year 2012 when the world ends.
Don't
comes
buy into that stuff.
I'm
Don't
just
buy into
kidding.
That. I'm kidding too. You're funny. You are a funny guy, Mr.
Thank you, Hara.
For those of you who are either regulars or not regulars and don't know Andrew, he could give an evening of comedy that would have you side split because he is so funny and had such a great handle on imitating and recreating just some of the great talents of this world. Being with him is a lot of fun.
And it's like being with a lot of other people as well at the same time. You don't know who's going to show up. It could be, you know, Marlon Brando. Hey, you know, come to me and my daughter's wedding. It could be anybody shows up when you're with me.
And a good singer, too. He was at a place where he was showcased his voice, and I sat there and was just amazed. So talented, so funny, and could sing, too. How about that?
And there'll be an extra dollar in your envelope this week.
All right.
For that.
Well, listen.
That was wonderful remark.
I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it.
Well, extra something in the envelope, Hara.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, it's
so
my pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm very happy to tell you that our show is now on iTunes, and that means if you want to go to the podcast section of iTunes, you can find all the Coach's Corner shows. There were 15 of them on there as of Saturday.
Great.
So that means this one will be on shortly, so you can listen to Hara and I speak on iTunes or any other way you'd like. So, Hara, I'd like to thank you very, very much for being on my show today. And again, everyone, if you want to check out Hara's work, you can go to www.getcenteredwithhara.com. And I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name earlier. It's Tasher.
That's right.
Tasher. Okay, so it's www.youtube.com/HaraTasher, HARATAICHER. And to everyone, thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat station. Have an outstanding next 7 days, and we'll see you next week on Blog Talk Radio. Good night.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.